For the next few moments this morning, I want to talk to you about the power of self-talk. You know, the Apostle Paul, he knew something about the importance of how we think and how we think in our minds about ourselves and about where we're at in the situations of life. Now, Philippians chapter 4 is where we're going to turn our Bibles. We're going to look at just one verse. And this one verse is a very familiar portion of Scripture. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. The Apostle Paul says, and I want you to understand, he is speaking now to himself. Now, we're the recipients. We are blessed by his words. But he's building up his own faith and his own self in the Lord. He says this in verse 13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Let's say it together. Let's do it together. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Now, I remind you that the Apostle Paul, when he writes this, he is in prison in Rome. Now, to call it a prison would really be a stretch of the imagination. I have been to this prison. It's called the Maritime Prison. And it's located right in the heart of Rome. From this prison, you could see off in the distance the Circus Maximus. You could see where they would race their horses and chariots. It was from there you could see the center of Roman government. This was not a prison like you would think of today with metal bars and that sort. Paul would have been much happier with such a place, I'm sure. If I were to describe what it was like, the best way to do so is probably if you were to take a manhole cover off. Have you ever looked into a manhole when, you know, they've been working down inside of the earth there and you walk by and just take a quick peek? If you were to take off a manhole cover, take a person and throw them headlong down to the bottom of that hole, and that is where they would be. That is where Paul was at. Best way to describe that prison was a place where there was water, probably up to his knees. There were rats infesting it. There was no way to get rid of the human, you know, excrement. It was a horrible place. And it's in this place, this very forsaken place, if you were to call it that, in the natural, that he writes the words, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. I don't know about you, that takes me back. You know, if I, on a nice sunny day, try to find a parking spot and I have to walk a block and a half, that's kind of a bummer. Here's a guy that's in a hole in the ground, water up to his knees. There is possibly even the carcasses of those who have died there. Just outside the manhole cover, they tell us, historians tell us, just outside of that, the executioners would come and they would sharpen the blade of their axe. And all the time, you know, just taunting them, I'm doing this for you. And so Paul in such a place, it's amazing to me that he can keep his spirit up. It's amazing that he can keep his thoughts in the proper category and that rejoicing in the Lord. And so when we read Philippians chapter 4, in verse 4 he says, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. And then he goes on, he says, I've learned through life, whether I have a little or whether I have much, to be content with what I have. And then he goes on to say, I've had times in my life where I've had much, and I've had times in my life when I've had absolutely nothing. And I have learned through life, I've learned through all of these circumstances, no matter what is going on, it's up to me if I want to rejoice or not. That these things cannot rob my joy. These things cannot take away my relationship with God. And so whether I have little or whether I have much, I've learned how to be content. And then we find verse 13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Now, some would say, just who is this guy? And how does he say such things? How dare he make such a proclamation? At best, they would say he sounds self-confident. At worst, they would say he's a braggart. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. I remind you this morning, the Apostle Paul was neither self-confident, nor was he a braggart. Rather, he was speaking of a rich spiritual discovery that he had made. You see, the Apostle Paul had discovered the life-changing truth that he was who God said he was, and that he could do what God said he could do. And in this, he took confidence knowing God is in charge. God is the one that saved him. God is the one that brought him out. God had a plan for his life, and that he is who God says he is, and he can do whatever God says he can do. Now, friend, I want you to leave here this morning in just a little while, understanding and embracing this truth, that you are who God says you are, and you can do what God says you can do. Not in some heady, self-serving way, but rather in the spirit of humility and gratitude to God for his power that works in you and works through you to accomplish his will in your life and his will in the world that surrounds us. I want you to consider with me, first of all, the life-shaping power of self-talk. You know, the way we talk to ourselves and the way we think, this begins to shape us. It begins to form us. You know, there's no one that will ever speak to you more than you speak to yourself. You know, I've often marveled as I've walked down the street behind a street person to hear them mumbling as they go down the street. They're talking to themselves. Many times they are so down on self. They're down on who they are and how they're living and what's going on. You see, negative self-talk can be very, very destructive. Terms like you're stupid. Oh, it hurts when somebody else says it, but it hurts all the more when we say it about ourselves. You can shut somebody else off. You can walk away. But there's a person that we must all live with, and that person is ourselves. You're stupid. You'll never amount to anything. You're ugly. No one will ever want you. You're a failure. Your future's over. You can't do anything right. You're a born loser. You've messed up your life this time for good, and there is absolutely no way out. Can you imagine for a moment the destructive power of such continuous mental bombardment? If this is the way that you are choosing to speak to yourself, you will find there's simply not enough friends nor counselors to pull you out of the emotional pit that you are digging for yourself. We need to understand that Satan is the accuser of the brethren, and that he will use your own self-talk as a weapon against you if he can. Now, the Apostle Paul, he didn't listen to the voice of the accuser. From the time of his conversion on the Damascus Road, Paul was determined. Listen to how he speaks. In Philippians chapter 3, verses 13 and 14, this one thing I do. He said, of all the things that I will do in my life, and there are many responsibilities, many roles, this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. Paul had a lot to leave behind. The Bible tells us he was self-righteous to the core. The Bible tells us that he was a man that found great joy in persecuting the church in Jerusalem. He even went so far as to have Stephen stoned to death. And when he was transformed on the way to Damascus, he was on the road to Damascus to find Christians in Damascus, bring them back to Jerusalem, have them tried as heretics, and even put to death. He has a lot in his past that he'd like to forget. And he says, this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. How many have some things you'd like to forget this morning? some things you'd like to leave behind. Any one of us in this room, I believe, in some category of life, we have something like that. He says, so this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto that which is before, I press towards the mark, the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Now, I want you to notice how Paul speaks to himself. Now, I want you to listen for just a bit of Paul's self-talk for a moment. And we're going to pick some out of the very words that he shares with us in his epistles. Philippians 4 and verse 13. We'll start there where we've been. I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. We're the benefactors. We hear that this morning, and we too can apply. But Paul was applying this to himself. When he's in that dark, damp dungeon, and when he's in water up to his knees, and there are rats swimming and floating on the top, in such a filthy, dirty, forgotten kind of place, with the executioner above in the manhole, you might say, sharpening his axe and taunting you that your head is next, he says, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. I can face you, I can face the waters, I can face the mess, I can face all of it. I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. He is speaking words to himself and words that we can apply today as well. In Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20, listen to what he says here. He says, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Paul is saying unequivocally, I no longer live. The man you once knew, the man I once was, I am no longer that individual. I know, as we say today, I know that I'm not everything I could be. I know that I'm not everything I should be, but thank God I'm not what I used to be. Amen. We are on the road to change. And for Paul, it may have been anger. It may have been a whole lot of other things that was the impetus behind some of his actions. But he is simply saying, I am not who I once was. That person is crucified with Christ, and yet I'm alive, but yet it is not Paul. It's Christ that is living inside of me. What about 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17? He says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And as you go on to the next verse, and it says, and all things are of God. He is speaking to himself. He is saying, Paul, you are not who you used to be. And do not allow the enemy or anyone else to put you down. You are who God says you are. And you can do what God says you can do. Romans chapter 8, verses 33 to 39. Listen to what it says here. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? There was a lot of people that wanted to condemn Paul. The Jews for being a turncoat, changing and becoming a follower of Christ. And the Christians weren't sure what category to put him in either. They weren't sure they could trust this man that once persecuted the church. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who maketh intercession for us. Aren't you glad this morning that Jesus is praying for you? He is praying for me. He is interested in your life. And he says, I want you to understand, he's at the right hand of God the Father. He's interceding for me. He's encouraging himself. Verse 35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? He experienced all of these things. As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We're accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all of these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. He is saying, Paul, no matter how dark it looks, you're going to be a conqueror. Matter of fact, the word that is used here is a super conqueror. He says, nay, in all of these things, we are more than super conquerors. We are more than sufficient for whatever comes at us through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And what he is saying is, I am secure in Christ. Friend, I want you to know, you are secure in Christ. When Christ is in you and you are in him, that is the safest and the best place to be. I had meetings this past week for Global University, which I serve on their board in Springfield, Missouri. And on the way down, there was a young lady that was sitting next to me on the plane. And I could tell the air was not real stable. And so the plane is, you know, doing this kind of stuff. And she was over there. And every time she'd go, oh! And she'd grab the seat, you know, and the arms. And I said to her, you don't fly much? And she said, no, I don't. I don't fly. And I don't like flying. I'm going to go see my grandparents. And that's the only reason I'm flying. And so I said, well, we struck up a conversation, and it wasn't long, and she told me that she's attending another Assembly of God church in the area. And so I had the privilege of telling her, I said, you know, hon, you belong to Christ, right? Yes. You've given your heart and life to Jesus Christ? Yes. I said, what's the worst thing that could happen? What is the worst thing that could happen? And I want you to think about that for a moment. You know, when you're going through difficulties and when it seems as though, I mean, that there's just dark clouds before you, I want you to know the worst thing that could happen is you go to heaven and be with the Lord. And so no matter what, Paul says, no matter what the outcome, I win. I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. And I realize the person I once was is no longer. I'm a new person in Jesus Christ. You know, the right kind of self-talk then affects your heart, your mind, and your spirit, just as the negative does. One builds up, the other tears down. Matter of fact, a study has been done. There's a lot of studies that have been done on self-talk. And on self-talk, when you begin to tear yourself down, and you're doing so day after day after day, it is what is called anger at times turn inward. Anger inward, for those of you that know your psychology, that becomes depression. And so the enemy is out to depress Paul. He's out to depress you. But we are not who he says we are. We are who God says we are, and we can do what God says we can do. You see, far too many believers, they rehearse the negative. I cannot overcome. I cannot break free. Things are never going to change. It's always going to be this way. When we ought to be declaring who we are and what we can do through Christ. Now, let me give you a little picture of who you are in Christ. We are accepted. We are the children of God. As a disciple, you can say, I am a friend of Jesus Christ. I have been justified. I've been made right in the sight of God. I've been bought with a price, and I belong not to myself, but I belong to God. I am a member of Christ's body. I've been chosen by God and adopted as his child. I have been redeemed and forgiven all my sin. I am complete in Christ. I have direct access to the throne of grace through Jesus Christ. I am secure. I am free from condemnation. I am assured that God works for my good in all circumstances, seen and unseen. I have been established, anointed, and sealed by the Spirit of God. I am hidden with Christ in God. I am confident that God will complete the good work that he has begun in me. I am a citizen of heaven. I have not been given the spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. I am born of God, and the evil one cannot harm me. I am significant. I am a branch of Jesus Christ, the true vine. I have been chosen, appointed to bear fruit. I am the temple of the Holy Spirit. I am God's workmanship, and I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Friend, let the Word of God dwell richly in you and see how it begins to transform your mind and your heart and your attitudes in life. We are who God says we are, and we can do what God says we can do. Secondly, I want you to think for a moment about God's power and His work through us. God's power works through us. Notice how Paul says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Paul is saying, I can do all things through Him who infuses strength into me. Here's how this works. There's a word that is used in the New Testament that is seldom used today. It's an old English term, and it's succor. The word succor means to add strength to one's strength. So let's put it this way. Let's say that a car has fallen on a friend, and you come and all you can lift is 200 pounds. At the very best, that's all you can muster up, 200 pounds of strength to lift this thing off, and it weighs 1,800 pounds. Have you ever heard of individuals that have lifted a car off somebody else? How many's ever heard of it? How many have ever seen them go back and try to do it after the fact? It cannot be done. Here's what is working. At that moment, there's the supernatural, I believe, when God comes alongside. You can call it a general, and you can call all sorts of things, but when it happens, when you most need it, I call it God. Amen? And so in that moment, He comes alongside, and He gives you the differential. Whatever strength you have, the strength you're using, God adds His strength to whatever is necessary to make the impossible possible. And He comes along to make a way when there seems to be no way. I can do all things through Him who infuses strength into me. And that is exactly the work of the Spirit of God. The text literally reads this way. If you read it in the original language, I am strong for all things. I am strong for all things. I can do all things. That word all, I looked it up for you. You know what all means in the original language? Yeah, all. Here's what the Bible is saying. Here's what Paul is saying. I'm adequate for everything. I'm adequate for whatever it is that I face in life. Now, this is not some self-adequate way of thinking. It's not mind over matter. Rather, it's I have all that I have need of residing in me because I have faith in Jesus Christ, and greater is He that is within me than he that is within the world. And I have the one I need living in me, and He empowers my life, is what Paul is saying. And if God says I can do it, therefore, I can do it. End of discussion. You know, facing physical trial, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. When you go in for that job interview and you're shaken to the core, you know you need that job and you long to be able to provide for yourself and for your family, I can do all things through Christ that gives me strength. When you're called upon to step out of your comfort zone, I want you to remember in that moment you can do all things through Christ who gives you His strength. When you feel that nudge of the Spirit to speak up for Christ, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. To that unsettling thing the enemy wants you to fear and causes you to wonder, will you make it through? I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20 says this, now to Him who is able to do immeasurably more than we ask or imagine, according to his work that is at work within us. Paul is saying whatever the need is, God always comes through, not only barely meeting the need, but he gives you excess above what you could ever ask or ever think. Friends, I'm so glad to serve a God this morning that knows where we're at. He cares, he's got a plan, and he is issuing his strength, and he will add strength to our strength as we need it as we go through life. And whether you're in the dungeon like Paul, you can say, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. You find Paul and Silas, they're in jail on another occasion. And again, it's rejoicing. Peter finds himself in jail, and what is he doing? He's encouraging himself. You'll find them singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs in the midst of the dark hour. How can they do so? It may not be the way they would naturally feel, but they know this. God is in control. God is the one that saved me. God is the one that keeps me. He is the one that declares who I am, and I can do whatever he calls upon me to do, because greater is he in me than he that is within the world. Amen, church? We can do it. Now, let me ask you this morning, what kind of self-talk do you engage in during the course of a normal day? What kind of a conversation do you have with yourself? That's the most important conversation of all. Friends, here's something that I've discovered, and I'll just share it in a bit with you for a second. You know, those that are the most mean-spirited and say the harshest and the meanest things to others, and you have felt the whip of their tongue. You have felt them just come on you and stick to you like glue, and you can't seem to get rid of, you know, they're on your case. Those kinds of individuals, they have some of the worst self-talk in the world. And what you're hearing is just a bit of what they're telling themselves all the time. So next time somebody just rips you to shreds, you can just look at them and know, pitiful person, they've been tearing themselves down. Now they're trying to bring me down to their level, but God is going to lift me up. Hallelujah. And friends, Satan, I believe he roams around and he has free reign until he encounters a believer that knows who they are, know what they can do, not of their own strength or might or power, but because they understand, greater is he that's within me than he that's within the world. I want you to bow your heads.